Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Red
Argentina win the Stanley Cup after the President's Cup were the 2012-2013 Chicago Blackhawks. NBA news last night, Trae Young and the Hawks and the home streak playing games as the Birds beat the Cavs 107-101. And then it goes on to Miami and play the Heat on Sunday. It's the Battle of Georgia against the Battle of Florida. New Orleans made a huge comeback in the second half to beat the LA Clippers 105-101. Brandon Ingram scored 30 points. CJ McCollum at 20 made the Pelicans continue to roll away and play games. And the Clippers did not have Paul George nor Kawhi Leonard. And they lose again. And the LA Clippers, once again, they lose. Once again, the Iron Bells. Once again, year after year after year, they go home. This franchise has been snake bit for years. Game today, Utah at Dallas, Denver at Golden State, Toronto at Philadelphia, Memphis at Minnesota at Memphis, or Memphis at Minnesota. Tomorrow, Brooklyn at Boston, Chicago at Milwaukee, and the 76ers host the New Orleans Pelicans. NCAA. And I hope Reggie comes in with this. The MEAC loses two more teams, and the conferences are a thread. The Albert Bison Aliens are going to the CAA, the Colonial Athletic Association. The conference CAA might be also beginning after university. And my question to the NCAA, are you trying to undermine the MEAC? NFL, Aaron Rodgers, we can't help. As the Packers sign Ben Watson, 1 year deal. And Simon Gilmore signed 2 years with the Indy Colts. Major League Baseball is in serious trouble. I hope we get a conversation today about this. Yesterday, everybody wore 42 for Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson Day. But it remains to see what has happened to African-American baseball. You're sitting there saying, happy Jackie Robinson Day, and you're cutting the minor league teams all over the country, meaning less chances for African-Americans. What are you doing? But this is baseball, just like baseball refuses to move forward in the industry and move forward in their game. I saw it right today when they're going to eliminate the playoff games at the end of the season if the two teams are tied. Last year, the Giants and Dodgers played a three-game series because they were tied. That was one of the best series I've ever seen. And baseball being baseball, they ruled it out this year. Just typical baseball. They're mad at the Giants because they need to go. All of them. Last night, the Blue Jays beat the A's 4-1. Only 2-0 by Zach Collins. The Mets had the best record in baseball. As a homer of Jackie Robinson Day. They beat the Arizona D-backs. 10-3 with 4 home runs. The Yankees played the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles win 2-1 on a walk-off in the 11th inning. And manager Bob Boone gets throughout the game. And the game's over. The Cleveland Guardians play the Giants in the Cleveland opener. The Giants win 4-1. Larry Doby Jr. shows the first ball out of the game of Cleveland. And Larry Doby continues to be the forgotten man. The second black man in baseball with the Cleveland, then Cleveland Indians, now Cleveland Guardians. And there you have Friday Night Lights. We'll take a break. Come back after this ball because.
New York, New York, New York. One hand in the air.
New York. It's so nice. They named it twice. News of the week. You keep messing with these athletes. You keep messing with these athletes. And they will leave the game. They know me outside good. As big as Jew in the tournament. He can win any tournament he wants to, but he won't play anymore. Ernie Salou, 16 years old, walked away from his figure skating. And see, the media understands this. They know this. They play games with this. They criticize the players. You know, right. And butter up the ones they want to get money from. Example, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, you know what? If you get Tiger Woods on TV, God, that's what happened last week. Tiger Woods made the cut. Imagine. Everybody's mama was watching Tiger Woods. This weekend, last week. Be careful what you wish for. Because the Williams sisters have left the game of tennis. What tennis star, American, that you know of? I can't name any. Read the article. Stop the Bull on BSNNewsroom.com. Stop the Bull. The article about what I was saying about these athletes. Baseball, no black athletes, or very few. Basketball, you criticize LeBron James. Hey, he's a cash cow. He's a cash cow. I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for. Monday, the Lakers fired Frank Vogel after a complete disaster in Los Angeles. No starter played for 100 minutes together, and we can't win that way. I don't care who you are. The Lakers made a big mistake by getting 5, 6, 7 players over 35 years old. You can't do that. Alvin Gentry, the great coach, is leaving Sacramento. And now the coaching marathon begins in the NBA after the playoffs are over. The Sixers, Joel Embiid, made history as the first international player to win the scoring title with a 30.6-foot average. The first center since Shaquille O'Neal in 2000-2001. And 40 years since Moses Malone. 4-4-4. Now, if Embiid can win the MVP, first year Mason will now add the St. Petersburg Peacocks next basketball season. Look out, NCAA. And look out, Ontario's. Most of our guys are coming back. And by Cotton will also return to the Big 12 Center. I think North Carolina has a great chance of winning the NCAA title next year. Tuesday, the NBA had the first play games. Nets and Cavs and the Clippers and T-Wolves. I like the play games. I hope the NBA continues to do this. I think it's a boost for the NBA. No the end of the season, but I think it's a good thing. It got rid of rage at halftime as somebody glued her hand to the floor. And the dog is an animal protester against the owner, against Minnesota owner, Glenn Taylor, who owns the chicken farm. They were upset they were killing all the chickens after the bird outbreak. Bird flu outbreak. Cam Newton, Cam, I know what you're saying, but Cam Newton cannot say it in this time of day. My meaning is, you may think what you think, but you can't publicly say that. He said that females need to be, no way to be quiet. You may believe that, but you can't say that. Not after what's happened in the press the last 3 or 4 weeks. And using the B word, come on, really? I mean, really? You can't do that. So, Cam, I got to get on you for what you did. I'm sorry, I can't support that. And you guys come clean with your act of heaven. I'm just saying, you can't do it. The family is looking at themselves and watching the Nationals. That's interesting. The watching the Nationals has not been there that long. And this family was the 17th. The Washington Football Club, they're back in the news again. Real trouble with stolen revenue, allegedly. And now the Congress of the United States is going to get involved in the investigation. Now, knowing Sir Roger Goodell, it is not a good thing. Roger Goodell and the Washington Football Club better get it clean. Roger Goodell knew about this allegation. And the Washington Football Club could be taken away from Daniel Snyder. I think it's a good thing anyway. He needs to be taken away. We got a 925. 925. Hello, Chris. 925, you're on the air. Okay, you're just listening, man. 925, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. Moving on. The ramblings of Major League Baseball, the Giants, and the Padres get into it. And this is why baseball is losing its grip. They need the stop with the old rules and the unwritten rules. Stop it. Just stop it. This week, Curtis Grayshaw, 80 pitches, 7 innings, no hitter, perfect game. Now, he got pulled for the game. He ran 13, he struck out 13 people. And this is baseball's divinity again. And the game continues to slide down the slippery slope. And we're getting into so it's time to play Sunday, the Giants are going to play this way. And whether you like it, they're going to play this way. You want to stop it, you beat them. You beat them if you want to stop it. Another black group is trying to buy the National Football League team, the Broncos. Byron Allen and Robert Smith will make another attempt at breaking the barrier in the National Football League. On Thursday, the NBA will be getting money back as they find Jordan Hornets Bridges $50,000 for throwing his wild card at a fan, and Patrick Beverly for using curse words at the LA Clipper game. You know, the NBA, why are you finding a guy for cursing? I don't get it. All the things you can do is go find a guy for saying words. Okay, look. That is the job of the coach. That is the job of the team. That's not the job of the league. Mavs center Luka Doncic and Stephon Curry will play tonight for the Golden State Warriors. That should be interesting. I think the Warriors are going to win that playoff match, but it's going to go 6 or 7 games. Clippers, Paul George missed the game last night, and really hurt the Clippers. They lose to New Orleans, and the Clippers, they need to move. They will not win in L.A. I don't care what they do, they will not win in L.A. The Clippers are snake. I'm serious, it's snake bit. Every time there's a good chance for LA Clippers to win, something happens. Last night it was Paul George and the COVID-19. I mean, all year long, right? And ending on the news of the week, Dave Roberts. And he didn't cut no quarters. He said Major League Baseball is reducing the opportunities for African Americans on Jackie Robinson Day, okay? What are you doing? But this is Major League Baseball once again. We'll take a break. Come back in a minute. And my boys from New Jersey. Yeah, the Isley Brothers. Caravans, that's a bro right now. All right, we got 007 in the house.
Hey, Gary, happy Easter weekend to you.
Hey, thank you, my brother.
And I want to call people's attention. I know I've sent this to you, and it's worth people reading in depth. Yesterday, posted in Yahoo News, directly there in Yahoo News, wasn't even consigned over to the sports section, an article from the Los Angeles Times where the Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was calling out Major League Baseball for reducing opportunities for black players, particularly by the drastic reduction in minor league teams. 40 minor league teams were cut last year. And the article goes through the economics very well, and it's a very balanced article. Certainly, Roberts calls out Major League Baseball, and he emphasizes the importance of the minor leagues as a pipeline. But the article also goes through the economics and indicates that Major League Baseball owners look at the odds of a player coming up, even though there's the occasional player, and they actually cited, if I can find this, a player who won the walk-off homer, who was a 50th round pick.
Let me give you an example of why these owners are missing the boat. You know Ricky Henderson? Ricky Henderson, nobody liked Ricky Henderson, nobody liked him. Nobody thought Ricky Henderson would do anything in the minor league. Ricky Henderson was drafted in like lower half of the draft. What did Ricky Henderson do in the major leagues?
Well, he rewrote the record books and changed the game.
Okay.
Yeah. And even
now,
this article, the name I'm looking for here, Jared Dyson, scored the winning run when the Royals won the World Series 2015, Dyson was drafted in the 50th round. The 50th round no longer exists.
Right. I think Ricky Henderson was drafted in the 30th round. 30th, lower 30s.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. We talked about this before. Most baseball players today come from your college and universities, the majority of them. Why? Because they play 4 years of college ball. Right? Most African-American players do not play college ball. Okay?
Right.
So they go to the minor leagues. Now, a university ball player, their career is supplemented by college. So you don't have to worry about taking care of family, taking care of mama, taking care of whatever. Which African American players have to do. Baseball is that they didn't do account. So a 20-year-old black player needs to be supported when he goes to my minor leagues.
Yeah.
Alright? It's not gonna happen now.
Yeah. Well, here's a couple things in this article in Yahoo News, and I encourage people to look at it because it really goes into it in depth. Talks about NCAA rules allow football teams to offer 85 scholarships, but baseball teams only 11.7.
Yes.
Now, obviously, you know, you're going to have a football team with a lot more players on it, but, you know, that's a small donation, if you will, a small subsidy to college baseball teams. And in many ways, I keep saying this, baseball is an economic anachronism. It's something that existed in the past. It's no longer, it's kind of outlived its usefulness. I mean, there was a time, small town America, you know, before there were airlines and interstates and everything like that, it was great to have your own little, you know, semi-pro team in Podunk, Iowa. Those days have gone by, and the minor league players are paid so poorly. If you don't have a chance to really make it in the majors, if you're a marginal player, you know, and you get whatever the pay is, $16,000 a year, you can make that working in McDonald's or driving a truck if your chances are minimal. I knew a fellow, he had a relative. Let me just finish this point. He had a relative who was like an outstanding high school baseball player, an amazing high school baseball player, and went into the minors. And everybody thought he was going to make it because he was the greatest thing they had ever seen in high school and in that league in high school. And he gets to the minors, and he's just another guy. And he was shocked, and they were all shocked, because he's there with a minor league full of other great high school players. And that proving ground separates who is just a great high school player and the people who are going to move on. And most of them don't move on. And this fellow did not move on. And that's the case for most people in the minor league. They're not going to move on. And Major League Baseball owner said, you know, and they looked at it, why are we putting out these teams? You know, why are we planting these players if they're not going to grow into major league players? And they look at the economics of running their minor league teams, you know, and they go, am I really going to make money running this little podunk minor league team in Podunk, Iowa? And their answer came back, no.
But how do you build a team?
Well, the point that they make in this article also is that in Podunk, Iowa, or Podunk, Alabama, or wherever, minor league teams are important because this is where African-American youth or youth of any race can look at the game and grow an interest in the game. And when you've cut 40 minor league teams, you've eliminated, you know, 40 cities, if you will, or small towns in which people can see the game and develop an interest in the game.
Well, I think baseball is cutting throat. And it continues to cut its throat. This repeatedly with this nonsense. What I mean is this, Art. They were 55 California teams, and now 32 or 30 in the 30s. Well, I used to go down to San Jose to see the San Jose Giants. It was a $5 ticket to go see San Jose. We used to enjoy seeing the people that were coming up. Buster Posey. Right? I watched Buster Posey when he was 18 years old, right? And it's like, you're not going to get there anymore.
Right.
So what are you doing?
Right.
See, baseball is like a grandfather who doesn't want to change his ways. Doesn't want to come into the future. Right. It's like you tell a grandfather the new computer and he's looking like, what, are you crazy? I can't use this computer. Yeah, you can if you learn. But baseball refuses to do that. The AML years ago, played to the Guess what baseball does? No, we can't do that anymore. We can't do that. Why not? Everybody enjoyed it. Everybody loved that series.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem? Yeah, I don't understand. And this year, this week, with the San Diego Giants series, they brought it out again. Kevin said, look, you got to beat us. Because we're going to beat you. But what he meant was, we're going to burn you. If you do this shit, we're going to burn you. That's the way it's supposed to be. You have a rule that says, oh no, you can do it on runs. When you got eight run lead, do it on runs. Why not?
Well, I think that comes into, and you know, in any sport, at some point, there's going to be a gentlemanly approach. That's why even in high school games, and we see it in the pros too, kind of a mercy rule. Like in high school games, when you've got, sometimes you can't barely field a football team. You know, you have players, you know, playing offense and defense, and when they're up by 50 points at the half, they declare mercy. And that's considered good sportsmanship. Why rub someone's nose in it? And I think that's what happened with
I hear what you're saying, but baseball, you have the rule of, you know, steal a base when you're in the lead. What are you talking about? You know, steal a base when you're in the lead. What? See, that kind of stuff, to me,
right,
is stupid. It is outright stupidity.
Right?
Now, if you got a 13 or 14 run lead, okay, I get it. But when a game is like 6, 7, 8 runs,
right?
No, they come back. What happens if they come back?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because teams do come back. They do come back when they're down like that. Yep.
What happens then?
Yeah. The other point you raise on Kershaw, and I understand your point of eliminating his opportunity for perfect game. It's early in the season, obviously, and his arm apparently was getting tired. And what Roberts made the decision there is, you know, I need Kershaw for the long haul over the season. I can't burn his arm out on the third or fourth game of the season.
Yeah.
And I think Kershaw understood that. Kershaw already has one of the very few perfect games in baseball history.
Yeah.
So, statistically, he would have been even one of the, you know, more rare people to have.
That's right.
The decision was made, you know, let's not burn out his arm. And we've seen many managers who burned out arms in order to win. I mean, who was the guy who managed the A's? Billy Martin was notorious, both with the A's and, I believe, when he was with the Texas Rangers. You know, he was working with what he had, but he burned out arms. I mean, he made these talented pitchers overwork.
I believe that Major League Baseball is going overboard with his analytics. If I ever hear anybody talk about analytics, I'm going to beat him outside the head. Because look, you have Bob Gibson will pitch back to back 9-inning games.
Right.
Over 100 pitches back to back. Now what? These guys are telling me today that they can't do that. Are you kidding me? These guys are stronger than Bob as it was 50 years ago.
Well, given that, why do you think there's a perception that their arms are so fragile if they're in fact stronger than the players of 50 years ago?
Because they're protecting their money. It's about money now. It's about gas dollars. I'm gonna protect my interests.
Right. But how is it that Kershaw, say, with all the, you know, modern training and diet, medicine, massage, everything else, you know, was at risk of his arm falling off, where Gibson did not have that problem?
Because they were allowed to do so. You look at the minor leagues today, you look at all AAA, AA, whatever. They will not allow guys to do it.
I see.
And so when they get to the majors, they can't do it because they
weren't
allowed to do it.
I see. That's a good point. So they were coddled in the minor leagues and can't stand up to it in the major leagues. Good point.
This is about baseball driving me crazy.
I see.
Because baseball could be a beautiful game. It could be a wonderful game if they leave it alone. Just improve the product. They don't want to do that. They don't want to be in 1948. That's what they want to be. And it ain't working. I'm sorry, it ain't working.
Do you think the game is football being number one?
Hockey would be number two, basketball would be number three, and baseball would drag up the cows down. Why? Because number one, it's too slow. Number two, they gotta have more minorities in the game. They don't. Number three, speed the game up. I've been saying it for years. I'm not gonna go. You know, there's a game this week. 4 hours and 15 minutes. What are you doing?
I look at two things here. One, I'm more of a music fan than a sports fan, actually. When I go to a concert, you know, and they stop playing after 75 minutes, I'm just getting warmed up. I want to hear more. So to me, if somebody's given me 4 hours of baseball rather than two, I feel like I'm getting my money's worth. So I would be in favor of long games. But the other question is baseball inherently a boring sport that filled a gap, played a role at a certain point in history when there wasn't much going on? You had long summer afternoons in the middle of no place or in cities where there was nothing else to do. You'd go to a ball game. That's not the case today. There's plenty of far more exciting things to do than to watch a baseball game.
But Art, this four-hour episode did not start until the 80s. 80 to 90, this 4 hours, they didn't start till then. When I was a kid, we never had 4 hour games. I used to go to Shea Stadium, and we used to go Memorial Park in Baltimore. I never remember a 4 hour game before. So what are they doing? I mean, look, I went to a World Series games in New York, and they weren't 4 hour games. Something needs to change. I don't know what it is, but something needs to change.
Right. Let's change gears here, if we can, talking about another sport that I think certainly gathers a lot more interest, and that's basketball, with the NBA playoffs starting. And let me lead off with a question. Who is your pick? Well, a couple things. One, I heard some commentators yesterday saying that this is a season where any team could fall out in the first round or go all the way.
Yep. And this year with the COVID-19 and injuries, anybody can win the NBA title this year. I mean, anybody. That includes the New Orleans Pelicans. I could not tell you who's on the New Orleans Pelicans roster. But that's how crazy this season's been.
Yeah, this commentator was talking about the Sixers, and they said, you know, specifically, but you know, their broader comment was related to any team, but they were saying that, you know, the Sixers could crap out the first round, or they could go all the way. The team that that I'm most interested in, of course, is the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
And I sent you an email this week.
Yes.
Where my comment was, even though they have depth, they are light. They're not dominant.
No.
So it's kind of deep, but you know, broad,
okay.
but not deep. So their depth, let me put it that way, is broad. That they've got a lot of role players, but that none of them. Well, with the exception, say, of, you know, a few exceptions, you know, Iguodala, Thompson, Curry, hopefully if he comes back, Draymond Green. But beyond that, they're not real deep. What's your take on that?
Let's rephrase that commentary. What you mean is the Golden State Warriors are not dominant like the Phoenix Suns. Here's the art. If Stephen Curry comes back, which the indicators are he will be back, Wiggins, the key, I want people to watch, the key to this thing is going to be Wiggins and Moody. Wiggins, Moody, Iguodala, if he comes back. If those three guys produce anything in this first round, you talk and forget it. Because if the Golden State Warriors put it in full gear, nobody, only one team can beat them if they're in full gear, and the Phoenix Suns. That's it. Nobody else, if they're in full stride, nobody else can beat them.
Are you troubled at all that they don't have a big man?
No. You don't need a big man. The only time you need a big man is against you. And that's what's going to be interesting about this matchup. Because I want to see how Golden State deals with this center. What they call a Joker. I want to see how they're going to deal with the Joker. Because if they close the Joker down, that's it. They're done. But if the Joker gets loose, we got a contest. That's what we will watch. Wiggins, Moody, Iguodala, and the Joker. That's the other matchup. So, I think Draymond Green is going to be the other key. If he's there, it'll be all right.
This is also an interesting year in that the Warriors are homegrown. That, you know, and I'm going to say that Iguodala, who, of course, came over from Philadelphia, a number of years ago now, has become fully no longer an import, but is part of this team. But in a way, even Durant was an import, you know, brought in as a key player. And in some ways, I mean, I don't know if that puts an asterisk even on the Warriors championship with Durant, that he came in as kind of a rental. But in any event, they don't have such a player this year that they're playing with basically, you know, people that have come up through their own system without a rental. And I would argue, at least, that when Iguodala came over from Philadelphia, he was an import, and Durant was an import that changed the chemistry and the makeup of the team. Do you have a take on that?
Well, all we got to do is look up number 95. Forward center for Oakland, California, who played for the Marquette Golden Eagles. John Disconi Anderson. He is truly a homegrown Golden State Warrior. He grew up on 95th Street in Oakland. And now he's playing for the team that he grew up rooting for.
Right.
This is what you want. Juan Anderson, I hope he gets into the game tonight. Because he deserves it. I hope he gets in tonight because he went the hard way. And he got there. So, yeah, you're right. They're all homegrown guys. Gary Payton II. Moody. I wish that James Wiseman was healthy. He was a different Warrior team with James Wiseman.
Right.
But because he's out, Steve Kerr had to play, what was the game, with the Gopher League? He's a Kerr. Well, Steve Kerr had to play Gopher Pool with the Warriors. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work.
Right.
So, with the injuries, and the Warriors have major injuries.
Yeah. Well, Wiseman would have been their big man, I think, had he been healthy.
Right.
I think Looney's been playing that position, but he's not truly a big.
He's out of position.
Yeah.
He's out of position.
Yeah. And then Jordan Poole has been, you know, filling in nicely. But again, that's what I mean... You know, that's what I say. You know, Curry, we talked some years ago, we had an article in BASN Newsroom that Curry was Nessus, how did I put it together? Nessus Curry.
Necessary
Curry, Nessus Curry. And I think that's true. Without him, I don't think Poole's going to carry the load deep into the finals.
It depends on how Steve Kerr plays this. You have a mountain team, and then you have a small team. When Steve Kerr goes to the small team, they run. But when the
teams. You mentioned Phoenix. What do you think about Memphis? What do you think about Minnesota?
I like Memphis because they have a other guy. I can't think of his name now, but number 13. What was his name? The new star of Memphis. Morant. I think he's gonna be awesome. If they're gonna go. I hope the Warriors don't have to play that because that's not good news for the Warriors. They're gonna play Memphis. And I'm hoping for I would like to see a Phoenix Memphis playoff. Where to be to the death, and then the Warriors come in and clean up. I'd like to see, but we don't know.
Do you see this being one of the with the uncertainty and the evenness? Do you look ahead at this being one of the best playoff series across the board in recent years?
It could be one of the worst. Because you know, all the things like last night the game was seeds all back and forth all night long. And then the Atlanta Hawks, I thought Atlanta was gonna lose that game, and they came all the way back. So it could be crazy time in the NBA now because everybody is so level. I don't think anybody's gonna sweep a series at all. And I'll tell you another thing. If the Sixers lose this series, Doug might be out of a job. Because they're supposed to win this series. Doc Rivers need to win this series. I think his job is on the line. Same thing in Brooklyn with Durant and Irving. I'm telling you now, they better win that series. But we'll see.
Yes, sir. Good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good.
First of all, congratulations to Utah for taking care of Dallas today.
Yeah, that was a blowout. Oh, we lost Red. All right, we'll keep on going. Utah defeated Dallas today. That's another team that. All right, we didn't talk about this. The Golden State Warriors did not play well up in Utah or Denver.
Correct.
And those are the two teams that got to play.
Right. And that's why, again, the commentators have said they have to win tonight at home.
Yes.
Against Denver. Because they do not want to go being down a game to play at altitude.
Yes.
Yeah, historically, they have almost always played poorly
in Denver and
Salt Lake City.
They struggle mightily, both Denver and Utah. But I think what Dean Kerr's gonna do is they're gonna get those guys to Denver and to Utah earlier than they get.
No, from my experience, even going to Tahoe, going skiing, you have to sleep at altitude one night just to get your body accustomed to the shortage of oxygen in the air.
I could not stay in Denver. Whenever I
dated
Denver, it drove me nuts
when
I dated Denver.
Well, sorry about that, Gary. I hit the wrong button. I apologize, but as I said, congratulations for Utah knocking off from Dallas. But I think with the injury, the key injury that Dallas had affected that game. But, gentlemen, I'd like to throw this at you if I could. The Toronto Raptors and the 76ers. I got a feeling that 76ers, if they don't jump on these guys and take them out, you might have – the series go to what, game five? Is this the game five series?
Yeah, it's a very good series.
Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I just want to throw this to the panel, if I may. If Toronto still won in Philly, which is plausible because James Harden is playing like a fat boy – At a Shoney's. I mean, he's sitting down there. Do you think Toronto can get the 76ers?
I think it's possible. I really do. Because what's happening is Joel Embiid is kind of old. He can't do that. He can't get old.
Yeah. If I'm them, I let Joel Embiid shoot all he wants and work on other guys. I forgot your guest name. Apologize, sir. What was your name again, sir?
This is Art in the 707.
Hey, Art. Yeah, okay. No, mind my manners. That's why I said I apologize. Great job. What's your thoughts, Art, about the 76ers and
I don't know enough about it. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I often rely upon Gary to get me oriented here. But as I was saying earlier, one of the commentators that I heard on the radio said, and they were speaking broadly about any team. They said this is a season where, you know, any team could fall out in the first round or go all the way.
Yep.
And they were speaking then, applying that theory specifically to the Sixers, that the Sixers could easily get bounced in the first round or they could go all the way.
I believe that if they lose the series,
mm-hmm.
you will see Doc Rivers out of you.
He's gone. Jared, did you see his year-ending interview when they lost the last game, the regular season game, how he was kind of talking down to the media? You could tell the pressure's getting to him already. But real quick question. Now, the young man that played third base for the Philadelphia Phillies, he seemed like he had a rough time one game, and the mic caught him saying, "I hate this bleaking place." Now, have we gone too far to cutting out your art? Because I think the guy is working his ass off. He's trying. And then the fans give him a sarcastic cheer when he made a play. What's your thoughts on that, Art? I think there's too much technology.
This is why I will never be a Philadelphia Philly fan. This is why I will never be a Philadelphia fan, because did either one of you see the movie 42?
Yep.
In the movie of 42, the manager back then, when Jackie Robinson came to Philadelphia, that manager wrote Jackie Robinson every day.
You sure that wasn't the Pittsburgh manager?
No, Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, a little bald head guy. I thought it was the Pittsburgh manager.
Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
My dad, I'll never forget this. My house is 40 minutes away from Veterans Stadium.
Yeah.
My dad would go 2 hours to New York to go to a baseball game. Now,
I can understand that. Yep, I can understand that. But Art, what was your thoughts on that, Art, when my man said, I hate this place? And at the end of the game, he had to kind of take a back step.
What was that?
What was your thoughts about the poor third baseman that said he hates this, playing his effing place? Talking about in front of the Philly fans, and then after the game, they interviewed him. He said, oh, no, it's not that bad.
What you got?
Well, I'm going to let you guys go. I kind of said what I had to say. I'll let you finish it up for today.
No, right, we're fine. Go ahead. No, you guys go ahead. I'm fine.
All right. Okay. No, I don't think you understood what you were saying.
No problem. It's all good. No, I let you and I go ahead with the conversation.
Oh,
okay. Well, I didn't mean to run them off.
I want to get you the HBCU. What's going on with the
HBCU? Yeah. Well, the latest rumors, and it seems like it's going to take fruition. Word is that Virginia State has added 3 new sports to their list of activities, being number 1, men and women lacrosse, as well as soccer. Now, a lot of people think that Virginia State is looking down the road to go D1. And it would make sense, considering President Abdul is on the President Biden counselor. He's starting to make moves as far as to get Virginia State recognized. The campus is just gorgeous as far as the faculty, the land, and it's really growing with the facilities. That's number 1. Number 2, it seems like the MEAC is dropping like the Hindenburg, because the word is that Virginia State does go D1. They're looking at going to the Big South. Now, the Big South has just lost 2 schools, being Hampton and A&T, which are going to the County Athletic Association. Now, this is what's so significant, Gary. For many years, Hampton, the former president, Dr. Harvey, who's retiring after next month, the graduation, well, really this month, Mother's Day. The bottom line, Gary, these guys got to understand that the athletics is a business and needs to be running in business in order to bring revenue to the school.
Right.
And that's why Jackson State is pulling out the Music City classes that they got down there in Mississippi, because they said in 20 years, Jackson State is going to receive $6 million. Now, you figure the amount of money these people have made over the years, if you sign a contract, that's up to your administration to sign a better contract, you know. And I think now they're starting to see that the amount of money that costs to bring the band, bring the cheerleaders, bring a couple of busload of fans, bring the football team, is not economical feasible. I give you a perfect example. Tennessee State is going to play Notre Dame. Out of $500,000 that Tennessee State is going to get, they got to use that to pay for expenses to get up there, house those guys, as well as feed them. Now, a whole football team and staff flying from Tennessee to Notre Dame is going to take a nice chunk out of that check.
Right.
And then when you fit larger, if anything, what they should have done is have Notre Dame pay for the travel and the lodging of the team, which they could afford with that TV deal. I mean, $500,000 is not even dropping the bucket in Notre Dame. They got that in the couch. So Tennessee State needs to learn how to do a better job. They're going to take a beating like that, at least make sure they get the money and get the expenses paid so it's worthwhile. So I don't know who these business people are.
I remember SIU Carbondale, when they came out of the Fresno State back in 1986. They played football. Fresno State paid for all the food, all the lodging.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it is. What I see right now, the main reason the MEAC is Hamilton team and not doing well because they have not had the foresight down the road.
I mean, is anything going to make it through this?
Hey, Gary, let me call you right back. Yeah, let me call you right back, Gary.
Okay, all right. I'm going to do a couple of things while he's gone. The WNBA, the draft was this week, the WNBA draft, and the Atlanta Dream selected University of Kentucky guard Ryan Howard, number one pick for the Atlanta Dream. Number two pick was forward Baylor University going to the Indiana Fever. Alicia Smith going to the Fever. WNBA round three. Number three pick was Ms. Shakira Austin from the University of Mississippi. Shakira Austin going to the Washington Mystics. Other news, WNBA news, is Brittany Griner is still in a Russian jail as she tries to extricate herself from the Moscow airport incident, where she had allegedly illegal drugs in her suitcase. So that's what that's happening. My LPGA, last week, they were all before they go to Ohio for the Lord Goldman LPGA Championship. As we all know, last week in the Masters, Tiger Woods made the cut and faded away on Saturday with 78. Four bogeys, Scottie Scheffler wins, the Green Jacket beating Roy McIlroy and Colin Morikawa. This week is the RBC Heritage Classic, WTA. Last week they were the Charles Open. Today's Melinda Bente defeats Jabbar in the U.S. Clay Court Championship in Houston. Ronnie Opelka defeats Isner in the Copa Bogota Colombia Championship last week. This week they're in Barcelona, Spain. Barcelona Bank Open. NASCAR, last week they're racing Martinsville, Virginia, for the Blue Emu Max Pain Relief 400. William Bryant wins, meeting Joey Logano. IndyCar, last week they're in California Long Beach Grand Prix, as Joseph Newgarden beats Romain Grosjean in the second race of the year. Many, many crashes in that race in Long Beach, California. Formula One is the Australian Grand Prix with Charles Leclerc and Ferrari Grand Prix at a Grand Slam. And not many people get a Grand Slam in Formula One. Charles Leclerc last week Lewis Hamilton came in fourth place. And my favorite driver, Lando Norris, came in fifth place. And Lewis Hamilton has had trouble with his car. The Mercedes-Benz driving team are dealing with mechanical issues with both of their cars. George Russell and Lewis Hamilton have got second and third place. And I want to see what happens when they come to Europe next week. They drive to Europe next week on the European Tour of Formula One. As I said, you need to read the article on BASN Newsroom. It says, stop the bowl. BASNNewsroom.com gives some good news. We'll take a break. One more mighty, mighty Isley Brothers Road. Teaneck, New Jersey. Yeah, Teaneck. We gotta get a scoreboard and scoreboard. Minnesota and St. Louis hockey NHL. St. Louis 4-3 third period. Vegas and Edmonton Oilers is 1-0 Edmonton at the end of one period. Boston Bruins defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins 2-1. Detroit Red Wings game in the Madison Square Garden. Rangers beat the Detroit Red Wings 4-0. Nashville Predators beat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-3 in Nashville. In the NBA, going into the third period, Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota 79-37 going into the fourth quarter. A good game. Earlier today, the Utah Jazz beat the Dallas Mavericks 99-93. And they take game one in the series. Baseball, we got baseball scores. Arizona 2, the New York Mets, nothing to measure in first place in the National League East. Tampa Bay Rays against the Chicago White Sox. And as the final, it's 3-2. Arizona just defeated the Mets 3-2. That's the end of that game. In progress, Tampa the 8th is the A's 5, Blue Jays 5. Yeah, the Braves 4, and they're in San Diego 1. Minnesota is in Boston. Boston winning 4-0. And top of the fourth, the Detroit Tigers are tied with the Kansas City Royals 1-1 in the end of four. There you go. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. Come back again next week. Same bad time. Same bad station. And I hope the Warriors come through with this. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting series. I think that the matchups are very interesting. Jokic can be the key to the Denver Nuggets. If Jokic scores 25 points or more, the Warriors could be in trouble. I did, and Looney is going to neutralize him. I don't know how he's going to do it. But Looney has to neutralize him. Stephon Curry, if he plays today, we'll see how many minutes he's going to play. But I think if the Warriors get all the guys back, and they all play like the Warriors play, it could be I still think it could go five games. A complete set of five games. So, I don't know. Well, have a good week. Have a good Easter. Oh, we got 925. Yes, sir, on the air.
Hello?
Hello there, how you doing?
All right, how you doing, Gary?
What's up?
Well, I don't know. I just said, you know what? Let me listen to Gary's program today. See what he has to say. All his great knowledge and of all these facts.
Thank
and
you,
just,
thank you, thank
you. You just impressed me so much, Gary.
Oh, you enjoy the show?
Huh?
Did you enjoy the show?
Oh, yes, I did. I did. Hey, am I on the air?
We try to do our best.
We got Michael
in the house.
Yes, sir.
I was on the air.
Huh?
Hey, Mike.
How you doing, G?
All right,
man,
what's up?
I was on the air.
I don't know if you touched on it. But we touched on it briefly yesterday, and I just wanted to confirm. And I was talking about a response that Cam Newton made when he was asked about the type of woman that he wants in his life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought it was very unfair because they asked him a question about what he wanted. Now,
yeah,
you don't ask someone.
I know where you're going with this. But the black athlete has to be careful what he says and what he doesn't. I don't argue with what he wanted, but you can't say that because of the way the media is today.
If the media has to twist it, that's their problem. You know, there really wasn't anything wrong with what he said. Because I asked myself, if that question was asked to me, what would I say? And my parents, God bless them, were together for 23 years, and they had a wonderful relationship. They were partners to each other in life. And that's essentially what Cam said. His family was together for 36, 37 years. He wanted a lady that was in many ways like his mom. Now, I don't see anything wrong with that, if that's what he was
exposed to. No, Michael, what he did, he used the B word, and he can't say, okay.
Hold on, I know where you're going with this, and you know, I understand the word, I understand the meaning of the word and all that stuff. He did not mean that in the direct, you know, that was colloquial for sure.
But he can't do that.
Well, no, it's just another reminder. It's just another reminder that what the media does is white supremacy, and even in the games people play, you can't relax for 1 minute. Now, he was lazy in that regard. I give you that. But the bottom line was he wanted an assertive woman, a sure woman, a partner, and he said that in as many words. Now, anybody who wanted to harp on that and try to take something out of it, they could because of the way he left it. But in all honesty, there was nothing harmful or deleterious about what Cam Newton said about a potential partner. You know, he was using his mom and dad as an example, and I respectfully disagree with the premise that he was trying to say something deliberately wrong.
No, I'm not saying that he did wrong. What I'm saying is this. You know, I know how the media gets twisted words. So why would you? Okay, it's like giving a dog raw meat.
If he was saying that in the way that it was designed on negative tip, I would agree with you 1,000%. You know, He wanted somebody who knew who she was and was sure of who she was. That's what he was essentially speaking on. He wasn't trying to do anything other than helping him ask questions, which means that ultimately you can't ask questions anymore because it makes no sense when you know someone's trying to set you up for something where a wrong answer or any answer would be a wrong answer because of the way it was approached.
Okay, let me give an example of this. About three years ago, 4 years ago.
Yep.
The Big Dog Center.
Mm-hmm.
In Utah or no, it was, what was his name? He has a French name. Real tall, light-skinned brother.
Okay.
It was Joke during the COVID-19 outbreak.
Was this Joke of Noah?
No, it was Big Dog Center, light-skinned brother. Anyway, they asked him, do you believe in COVID-19?
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he touched all the microphones, all receivers, and
yeah.
2 days later he got COVID-19.
Well.
And his answer was leave me alone. And the media played that for all of his words.
You can't fix stupid, no matter what. If you know that prepared for the media is part of your job, and you know that the crowd that you're dealing with essentially has resentment toward you, and this is what I was inferring the last time we talked, you know that what they're looking for is they're trying to
deliver something.
They want that gotcha moment, and you can't give them that if you're trying to be smart about it. You know, if you got to answer the questions and contractually playing a sport, after the locker room, whatever, there's a certain amount of time where you are contractually supposed to answer questions if you can. But having said that, too many guys have too many different agendas, and they want to wait for that moment where they can ask that question or throw in that shot, dig in that jab where they can jump on somebody.
Always, the black guy never gets a day off, never gets an hour off, never gets a minute off, and to be on the B's and Q's every day.
People to know that when you ask a question, you know, you pretty much can expect your answer if it's in the confine of a sport. When you get
right.
personal and you ask yourself up and themselves up to whatever may come of it. And that's why a question like that is a loaded gun. And if the interviewer or the interviewee is nice enough to answer that question, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. For having somebody to say it's preconceived negative, you know, that's just wrong. Because it's his opinion, and he has a right to his opinion. And on top of it, you asked for his opinion. So, you know, I understand what you mean about
Michael,
being careful.
There's one thing that these athletes can do.
Yeah.
I was done years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what needs to be done. But these guys need to be taught how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
If a reporter asks me a question,
once before. Yes, somebody can say that. Obviously, he didn't have a problem answering that question because he answered it. And, yeah, no comment works. But then if you say no comment and the wrong cat or woman gets a hold of it and says, what do you mean no comment? You know, you have no opinion on this? You know, we've seen this. We know people can be really snarky when it comes to certain things, especially when the resentment is in the air. And what I mean by that resentment is that how dare you treat me like a piece of you-know-what because you make all this money and I don't make anything, and I need information from you to make my copy. See, that resentment runs both ways, but unfortunately, some of these people in the media take it to the nth degree because they look for trouble. They look the target, and they look to get someone.
They want to be the star of the show. That's
exactly.
Their problem.
Right, exactly. They want to turn it into a potential problem.
This is the boundaries.
They don't do boundaries. They can't do boundaries.
You set the boundaries. And many of the younger ones, they don't get that yet. As they get older, they say, okay, this is what we do. This is what we do.
They know about setting boundaries. They know about setting boundaries. They just won't allow them to do that. And that in itself presents another problem. If you tell somebody that you're not going to answer X number of questions or certain questions, you know, right away, you're setting an atmosphere where they're going to say, oh, you know, you think it all that. And that's not really the case, but it doesn't matter. What they want is an atmosphere in which they can create some heat, create some controversy, especially if the reporter is not that well known. I've seen it dozens of times. You've probably seen it too, especially when it comes to sports like football. People who know very little about the sport, and they're there for some other reason. They don't know what the hell they're talking about, but they'll ask a stupid question or they're making a name point, and it's like, were you here watching a 3.5-hour game? Are you kidding me? That's what you have for me? So that's where a bigger problem comes. Asking a personal question like what they asked Cam is really essentially about this person who interviewed him had to know him fairly well for him to answer the question because it's not a sport-related question. You're asking about somebody's love life, essentially, for him to even think about answering the question.
Well, if the reporter, I blame the reporter for this. You want to get dirt, and it depends on what corporation you work for, and whether you work for Fox or MSNBC or whatever. And their agenda is. Now, when you go to the interview box,
yeah,
you know which reporter, what company,
right?
Therefore, you know what question comes from that reporter.
Yeah, but there's a difference, Gary, between mandatory questions and optional questions. Like after a game like that, okay, Panthers just finished playing or whoever he's quarterbacking for, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can expect questions to be involving the game. You know, now if it's after the game or if it's after the season or whatever, you're asking questions, you know, the guy is giving you space to ask the question, then you got to use your brain. You know, if you're trying to trap the guy, it's going to make for a very snarky interview, and it's going to be short, and they will not give you the time. So there's some openness to it. You don't have to suck up anybody. Just know your subject matter ask a damn question and get on with things. Too many of these people do not because they feel, oh, you owe us a response. No, they don't. They don't owe you anything. And unless you're in the locker room after a game for about 10 minutes after the cool-off period, no, they don't have to answer anything that you ask. And that's in the rule book. Sorry, but that's a given. They don't have to ask. Or don't have to answer, I should say.
Well, the athlete also got to stand his ground. What I mean is stand his ground. Okay, example of this.
Mm-hmm.
And after the incident with Draymond Green, when he got thrust out of the game with LeBron James in game 5 or game 4, whatever game that was.
And then there was game 5, yeah.
Yeah, well, I knew what was coming. I knew what it was at. Draymond Green looked at the reporter dead in the eye, and he said, I am not answering that question.
Yeah, and he has a right to do that.
And what he did was, he threw cold water on the reporter, and the reporter has a response. Now, either he can keep on digging at this, or he can leave it alone. That's the reporter's choice. But the athlete can say, look, I don't care what you ask. I'm not answering that question. That's what Draymond Green did.
Well, that's also Draymond's prerogative. If he is not answering the question for a specific reason, then there's other things to consider. Does he know this guy? Is he part of the pool? Does he have a good, bad relationship, contentious relationship with the guy? And if that's so, he can say no comment, just like you said.
Yep.
You know, if it's not, you know, when it gets catches, catch can, as far as the guy's concerned, you know, you have to wait. It's all on the guy. If he decides he wants to answer, he'll answer. If not, well, you know, you snooze, you lose. People who are in this business know that if they're going to go on ahead and affect the relationship and do their job, you can't suck up. But you got to know your subject matter, the related questions that connect with that, and that is what makes you a good reporter. Any other stuff, man, this is going on.
What's happening today? The Trump era syndrome is permeated the sports world now. What I mean is this. Reporters can say and do anything they want to now. And that used not used to be the case. There was a decorum, and that decorum is gone now.
Yeah, the process is like
the wild, wild west. Anything goes. And we can't have that. We just can't have that.
Well, that's the difference between doing your job and trying to hatchet job somebody. If you know your material, if you know what you got to ask, you're not going to cause a problem, and you're not going to cause an athlete a problem because he'll look at you, yeah, this guy knows what the hell he's talking about. He has question, blah, blah, blah. But there are other people who we know don't operate that way. And because of that, you have to deal with that. We were just talking about that on Wednesday's show. The Adam Schefter thing is a perfect example of that. Here's a guy who speaks rotten on somebody who just lost their life. And here's another colleague, a teammate, who is saying, you know, what about his family? What about respecting the man's family and the fact that he's gone? You know, this guy's a prick. And he just made everybody know that he was a prick and an insensitive one at that because, hey, the guy's dead. You know, where are you going to get out of the fact that the guy is dead?
Yeah.
You know, it's like what they do in the news where Gary Gray dies and Gary Gray was all this, but Gary Gray cheated at hopscotch when he was 8 years old, and that's the first thing that they bring up in the news broadcast instead of him talking about what a good humanitarian and a good journalist he was. That's the kind of crap that many of the players are tired of. That's the kind of crap that gets people in trouble. And now that Adam Schefter has done this, I'm hoping that a lot of other players will put the clamps on this nonsense, and they'll know there are guys that they simply will not talk to anymore. And they don't have to once they're in that cool-off period. So he can sniff around all he wants to for scoops and stuff. That doesn't mean he's going to get them, because now they know what kind of person he is. This is not the first time he's done this. There are other times where he's come out insensitive and did shit that had nothing to do with the story or nothing to do with the person in the story. So now,
well, I believe that Alexander's career is over. I think he'll come out somewhere else. I think his career with ESPN is done.
I wish you were right, because he doesn't listen. He doesn't just work for ESPN. He just signed a 5-year contract. He's getting paid a little prick, and that's what's annoying, because he'll continue to do this nonsense, and he'll hastily apologize again, because it's his nature. We know he'll do something stupid again. We know he'll do something insensitive again, and people won't care, because he would have gotten his little yayas off and done what he did, and that would be the end of it, sadly.
All right. We got for the NBA playoffs.
Well, you know, I haven't had a chance to sit down and really enjoy it yet. I'm still shaking my head about the playoff games and the fact that they just made this little bit of extra money. This is just like the NCAAs.
I really enjoy the playing games. There was a great intensity, I think the NBA needs to keep this playing games there, because what it does, it eliminates that tanking that was going on for years. At the end of the year, the people didn't even take it. You don't do it anymore.
There's a positive aspect to that. But, you know, no matter what, if you weren't up to play the one game, you wouldn't be up to play the series anyway. So, you know, I mixed emotions about the playing game. If it works, and from the response you're talking about, it seems like it does, then cool. But as far as playoffs are concerned, if you weren't playing well enough to be there in the first place, you probably shouldn't be there.
Well, I think only one team did not belong in a playing game.
And that was?
New Orleans Pelicans.
And you're going to say that.
And the reason why I say Pelicans is because, and they won last night, which is really weird, they won last night. But they should not be there because of their record.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be the first time somebody with a lousy record snuck in the playoffs. So that's not a surprise. Now that you're in, now do something with it. You know, you got in. So make the most of it. If you don't, well, then obviously you are what you are. And what's that thing Bill Parcells used to say? You are what your record says you are? Well, you are. So if you were sub 500, you were sub 500 then too. And your performance will prove that out.
But New Orleans was in a very difficult conference too, because you only had like three teams under 500. Everybody else is over 500.
Well, it's a strong conference. And you know, you've got to keep up. You've got to ball. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. It's a little unfair when you look at the rankings and you see, well, you know, this team is not doing blah, 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 because still with five or six other teams ahead of it. But listen, everybody's got to win or lose. So it's up to you to win. Play the games. And when the season gets to that point, you add up your wins and your losses and you see who did what. If you're in a better position, you're going to go to the postseason. If not, it'll be unfair, but your ass stays home.
Well, you know, this year, I think anybody can win this league this year. Only two teams that are real strong are the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors. They're the only two teams that I would be scared of. Those two teams I would want to play.
Well, it remains to be seen, but yes, Phoenix played good. Well, they played, they had a good season, so they go to the State, you know, let them have at it. But that doesn't fault the other teams that managed to get in. You know, I want to see how the Sixers do, but I doubt they'll do it. Joel Embiid.
Oh, I know what I'm asking. If the Sixers lose this series, is Doc Rivers' job in jeopardy?
Well, I would have to say no, because they gave that other incompetent boob 4 or 5 years, and he wasn't very good. You know, Doc is just getting his thing together. You know, I think now they've got a point guard that's Cap Moxie. He's on point. Embiid is playing as advertised. Everybody's pretty much doing what they're supposed to, although the beard, I don't know about the beard. He's a mercenary, you know. And, you know, it's like saying, well, James Brown can only do one thing, he can say. Well, you know, he can only do one thing, score. But he can score. So if they tolerate him long enough where his scoring becomes a plus and not a minus, Philly will do well. If not, Philly will miss out because they'll lose. That's just the reality of the situation. I feel for him, but postseason-wise, Philly only go as far as the beard will let them. Not Joel Embiid. Yeah. He's a good big man, but the beard is the difference. That's what they got him for.
I believe I'm in a minority with this, but I believe the Boston Celtics are going to beat the Brooklyn Nets. I think the reason why I say that is because defense wins championships.
Yeah,
the Brooklyn Nets do not play any defense whatsoever.
No, they don't.
I just don't see them beating Boston.
No, they don't. Well, you know, I think you're right. Boston does play defense. Boston does have a decent team, and I love Jason Tatum, and that's hard to say for a Philly fan. But the Celtics, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Although the Nets, you know, they've been wanting to have an identity for a long time. Now they got players that they can say, oh, this is Brooklyn, but they haven't won anything yet. I'm sorry. And until they do, they're going to be in that spot where it's going to be, yeah, but. And you know what we say about yeah, but. Are you going to watch football tonight? You know, the USFL is on tonight.
You know what? I'm debating whether it was that or not. I have an issue with that because they're using the same names as the old USFL. I got a problem with that.
Right. I mean, the USFL, they paid for the rights for it. They came back. They're online. Not the same apparatus, but they've got enough to make you believe that, okay, if they were going to continue on the same path they were in 1985, then spring football this time should work.
I'm debating this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because of names. And because they left Oakland out again, once again, Oakland get left out.
They only started with eight teams, G. I mean, there was the Oakland Invaders back in the day, but, you know, they're looking for set markets. Set markets, that's not their fault. You know, if Oakland was considered a set market, they would have put an Oakland Invader team back in. I mean, they put Philly back in, and I don't even think Philly's a set market, but the Philadelphia Stars played well in the short time that they were in the USFL. So, of course, yeah, okay, we'll let them in. You know, that's the only way I can see this thing working. They
well,
work with name.
I will be a Jersey General fan, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, the Jersey Generals are only there because they won, and they have a name recognition factor.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
Okay, we let you in. But they didn't get in because, all right, we're just going to pick you because you're in New Jersey. You know, remember, Trump owned these assholes. And when he did what he did and caused a problem.
I wonder if Trump is in the background thinking, I want these guys back.
No, he didn't. Believe me, they don't want any part of Trump. Trump had his shot to get in the NFL, and he lost because Pegula smartly had more money than he did. And even with all the money he had from Deutsche Bank, fronting him cash, it wasn't enough for him to get over. They know what he is. They know Trump's a phony. Even though there are guys who think like him and maybe act like him and probably would spend more than him, he can't get in because he just doesn't have enough to join the big boys club.
Speaking of ownership, the Denver Broncos, once again, African
Americans
are trying to buy
a Denver
Broncos. Is this
going to
work this time?
No. It's not going to work because they don't want him in the club. I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. I'm simply saying that Byron Allen may have the money, but he's going to suffer from George Jefferson syndrome. He thinks he's got enough green to cover his black. These guys are billionaires. And even if Allen is a billionaire, he ain't got that much green and he ain't got that much black in terms of his soul. They will shut him out in a New York minute and he will never get a chance to get up in there. If they've already started shit regarding black coaches and getting into court over race-sensitive cases that the NFL has unfortunately earned, then they're shit out of luck. Black ownership is not going to come in and affect them. Goodell can't do anything. He can't do anything about it because he works for the owners. If the owners really wanted a black guy in, they'd say, okay, let him and his money in. These guys are making huge money now, G. But
well,
I'm going to
tell you something. The football club is in trouble. They're in serious trouble because if Congress they're going to Washington could be stripped of I hope it happens anyway. Congress
they won't get
stripped what's the name of his ownership.
They won't do it. I know. He's got two sets of books. He was cooking the books. He was doing stuff off it and whatnot and got into some dastardly financial stuff. But, you know, this is common knowledge among the owners. I don't think they've got the cojones to say, all right, you messed up. You're out. They won't do it because there are probably several of these owners who did just as much dirt that just doesn't want out, that it wasn't out there. So now you got pots and kettles looking at each other, calling each other black. No, it won't happen. It ain't happening. You know?
Oh, boy. So, what you got cooking for tomorrow night?
Well, tomorrow night, now that March Madness is over, we're going to start with Love Madness. We're going to give you a preview of next Sunday, not this one coming up, but next Sunday, as even though there'll be rabbits running around and stuff like that, and everybody be eating jelly beans, we're gonna play some love music. We're gonna show you guys what it's about for the old school. And
look out!
Love Madness will be in the air, and starting the week after, we will take each of the four regions: the East, the Mideast, Midwest, and the West, and we will use 16 acts in each section, groups first, then single performers, and then the ladies, so that everybody can get a taste of Love Madness and show
hey,
folks.
No.
We want the ladies to come last. The ladies will go last because they went first last year. They're going to go last this year because in many ways there's nothing more sensuous than a beautiful woman singing to somebody that they love. And we know just as many guys have had guys acting as surrogate beggars for them, singing love songs. There are many women who love to have females sing for their guys, and we're going to give them their chance to do just that as this thing goes along. But tomorrow night, we will just start with a little taste of letting you guys know what's coming. And then Sunday to follow, we will get into each of the regions, and there'll be Love Madness enough for all to
show. And tell the folks what's your phone number and the name of the show.
Yes, indeed. Sultry Radio in the Raw, 517-527-0816. And with that, we want everybody to vote. You vote for the person or the act that you love. We'll tabulate the votes. And who has the most votes, we will come back with you and let you know who advances and who does not. At the end of the tournament, we will give you the final four in each group, and we will carry you on from there. So groups first, then single performers men, and single performers ladies. And that's how we do it. Tomorrow night, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And that's 10 o'clock for you West Coast people, that's 10 o'clock. All right, thank you, Mike. Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to watch the teacher play.